into the waters of baptism this morning. The rest of us, take your Bible and turn to Exodus 1, please. Exodus chapter 1. On this Mother's Day, I want to challenge the ladies in this room from this passage that deals with childbirth, the value of life, and then there are many other things as well that can be drawn from this passage. But you can tell from the fact that it is Exodus chapter 1, that the nation of Israel is exiting the land. Or preparing to exit the land. And God has given us a little bit of the background. And in this particular passage, he's talking about the birth of Moses. Moses, that great servant of the Lord, who led the nation of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. And it talks about his birth. And in part of that narrative of his birth, there are two ladies that we don't think much about, but God has chosen to give us their names, Shiphrah and Puah. Now, you know, God did discuss many people in the Bible and told us some of the great things that they've done without giving us their names. And I think God does that to show us that we need to be humble in our service, and he chooses in other cases to give us names. And in this case, we have the names of two ladies, Shiphrah and Puah. Now, the only thing that I can think of in regards to God giving us those names is so that those of you in here who still have daughters to be born have two names to name them, okay? So there it is, Shiphrah and Puah. I say that with a little bit of jest, but God, for some reason, has chosen us to give us these two ladies' names. So let's read about their story, beginning in verse number 7, Exodus 1 and verse 7. It says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." I'm in Exodus chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 8 now. "Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all the people, saying, Every son that is born he shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for these two ladies, Shifra and Puah, who many years ago were obedient unto you. And as a result of that, Lord, history was written and shaped the way that you wanted it to be. God, I pray that you would teach us this morning some truths from this passage. God, I thank you for the mothers that are in this room and the impact that they've had upon their children. But Father, we also have young ladies in here who yet will give birth, and we have families here who still have children within the home. And even those whose children are grown, Lord, the mothers can still make a difference in their lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that these mothers have to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us these truths and help us, Lord, to rear a godly generation that will fear you and be obedient to you regardless of the circumstances around them. And Lord, these things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, these two midwives, if they would have obeyed Pharaoh's command, think about this. If they would have obeyed Pharaoh's command, Moses would have been killed at birth. You see, if Pharaoh's plan had worked and they followed through with his command and did what he told them to do, then Pharaoh would have continued with that plan. And in chapter 2, we have the birth of Moses. But history was changed because these women feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. Now, I don't know if you think about things this way or not, but I do. And here it is. These ladies were a link in the chain that produced one of the greatest men of God who ever walked on this earth. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, it is a challenge to me to read through, and an encouragement to read through and to study the life of Moses. He became one of the most outstanding prophets that ever walked upon this earth. He was obedient to God. God talked to him face to face. He was human, and he had failures, and he had difficulties, but he was surrendered to God in such a way to where that God entrusted him with leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness, and then for 40 years through the wilderness. And these ladies, these two midwives, were one of the links in the chain that helped to produce this man. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. Think about Moses' early days. Now, I'm going to assume that all of you know a little bit about Moses and about his birth and the little ark that was put into the Nile River and Pharaoh's daughter coming and finding it and all of those things. And I want you to think about all of that through Moses' birth. He was surrounded by women who kept him alive and nurtured him and grew him. Shifra and Puah were just two. They made a decision to fear God. Moses, his mother, who saved him alive and then built the little ark and put him in the water. Moses, his sister, who kept watch over Moses during that time. Pharaoh's daughter who came and drew him up out of the water. And these women were all used by God to shape the course of history by their involvement in a baby's life. And I want us to understand the tremendous influence and impact that ladies have in this area. Don't underestimate the significance of it. Shifra and Puah defied Pharaoh. Now, to defy Pharaoh was to take your life into your own hands. We may not understand the significance of that, but I want us to try to put this into context this morning. Not only was Pharaoh the ruler of the mightiest nation on the earth, and not only was this the nation that had the Hebrews in slavery, so they were their taskmasters. But Pharaoh was also considered to be deity and was worshipped as a god. And he also had at his disposal these magicians that had the power of Satan to do different things that were designed to help influence the Egyptians in the worship of these false gods. But do you remember the 10 plagues that went through the nation of Egypt, and how that God, would bring about these things to cripple Egypt and to show his might to the nation of Israel? And every one of those plagues that God brought upon the nation of Egypt was also, it wasn't just for the purpose of delivering Israel, it was also for the purpose of defying an Egyptian god. They worshiped the Nile River, so God turned it to blood. They worshiped the sun god, so God gave them darkness. And each one of those plagues, for example, the frogs, they had a god that was partially a frog. It was the head of a frog. And so they couldn't kill frogs. It was part of their worship of their deities. And so every one of these, God gave them to insult their gods. And keep in mind that the very last plague was the killing of the firstborn. Remember? That's because Pharaoh, who was considered deity, would have passed on that deity to his firstborn son. And so God killed the firstborn sons. And so that was the way Pharaoh was looked upon. He was looked upon as a god, and they were defying Pharaoh. But these two midwives saw through the lies, and they realized the truth. And that is, fear the one true God. Put him first and you can change eternity. And they did. Now, they were going against the government of the land and against the cultural belief that Pharaoh is one of the gods. So let's learn a couple lessons from this. Number one, God gives us authority in layers. And when one authority in our lives goes against another authority in our life, we always obey the higher authority. That's the way God designed it. We have this illustrated for us right here in this passage. When the government says, kill your children at birth, which is what Pharaoh said. And God says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Which one do you obey? You see, when it says children are a heritage of the Lord, that heritage is the idea of an heirloom. It is something precious, and it is given with the intent that you then will take that and will cherish it. And God is saying children are an heritage of him. He gives that as a reward. The fruit of the womb is his reward. When that child is brought into your home, that child is to be cherished and it is to be treated with value. And so government says, kill your children. And God says, children are an heritage from me. What do you obey? Well, Shiphrah and Puah obeyed God. Kind of sounds a lot like abortion today, doesn't it? Government says you can kill your children, but God says children are an heritage of the Lord. So regardless of what government says, or whatever that authority is in our lives, if they conflict with God, God is the one that gets honored, and these ladies understood that principle. We also faced this during COVID, when the government said you cannot gather together. And God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Which one do you obey? You obey the higher authority. You obey God. You see, these ladies recognized God's authority over their lives. Mothers, please get a hold of this. God has authority in our lives. And these ladies recognized that. And they were willing to go against the government, even if it cost them their own lives. Another thing we learn is this. Just because culture says something is acceptable or true does not mean that it is acceptable or true. And it certainly doesn't mean that it's godly if culture says so. Culture said that Pharaoh was one of the gods, but that was not true. and God eventually put Pharaoh in his place. But these ladies knew the truth. They acted accordingly against the cultural pressures. Now, we need women in our homes who can sort through the pressures of cultural norms and through the pressures of cultural lies and desire the truth and make wise decisions based on that truth. We need women like that in our homes. We need women who can mother children and teach them to see beyond the temporal and impact their generation for God with wisdom. We need ladies who can do that. Sometimes that involves making decisions that cause sacrifice. These women did not know whether they would live or die as a result of their decision to obey God over Pharaoh. They didn't know that at the time. But they did what was right based on truth, and they left the consequences up to God. May God give us ladies like this today. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to see a passage here that helps us a little bit with this concept as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 9. I'm working my way up to verse 15, but I want to pull out a couple things as I go. Beginning in verse number 9 of 1 Timothy 2, the Bible says this: "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Let me pause for just a moment. God is addressing here outward beauty versus inward godliness. Do you see that? I want to say something to you ladies this morning. Godliness is more important than outward beauty. Now, this is not saying that a woman should dress as a slob. That's not what that's saying at all. But what God is saying is what is of more value is godliness on the inside and the way that that godliness works out through your life as opposed to your physical beauty. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about a woman who is fair to look upon, a woman who has natural beauty but doesn't have discretion. And God says it's like a pearl in a pig's snout. Now, I don't know if you all have ever seen pigs root around, but it's pretty nasty. And so God is showing us that more than the outward, we need to focus on the inward. Let me say something, ladies, that will help a lot of us understand some things. Self-worth and value is found in your relationship with God, not in your outward appearance. Well, moving on, verse number 11. "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." That's kind of a difficult passage to work through, isn't it? Especially for a man who's preaching on Mother's Day. But let me help us to understand some of this. Verse number 15, "Nonetheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." The "they" in that passage is referring to her children. So I'm not focusing so much on verses 11 through 14, which talks about a woman's role within the church, as I am verse number 15, which is showing where she has her biggest influence. What this passage is teaching is that women may not serve in positions of leadership over men in the church. That's God's design, but they play a vital role in the training of children. Don't underestimate the impact of that or the value of that. Now, that word saved in here, notwithstanding she shall be saved, is not talking about the salvation of our soul, which only Jesus can do through what he did for us on the cross. But the idea of that word here is that their influence is going to be on the next generation. As much as a pastor or a church leader has influence in the lives of his people, a mother has greater influence in the life of the children she rears. And it is one of the greatest responsibilities that she has in her life. The old saying goes like this. Now, this is not Bible, but this is a pretty good old proverb. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Y'all remember that one? It's the idea here. This is a ministry that only women can fulfill. And it clearly points out to us that mothers play a special role in the development of a child. Our children must be trained to continue in faith and charity and in a lifestyle of holiness. And the idea of sobriety means a serious approach to life. And so our children need to be trained to exercise faith and to be strong in the faith, which would be the doctrines of God's word. To have a charitable outlook, that is to love God and love those around them. And in holiness, and we like to throw that word out today, that's a word that we don't hear a lot about today because we would prefer not to live holy lives. We would prefer to live lives that are worldly and indulge in the things that the world has to offer and not necessarily sacrifice for the sake of God. But ladies, you need to teach your children to live lives that are holy. And the way that we do that best is by example. By setting that example for our children, our ladies are reaching the next generation. This is God's design. And it cannot be overemphasized. Go back to the two midwives. God said in his word that he built them houses after they were obedient to him. You know what that means? That means that God gave them children and allowed them to rear their own children. Go with me to one more verse, please. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. My message is going to be a little bit shorter this morning because of the baptism that we have to do and the fact that it's Mother's Day, but I do want us to get one more verse in here, Acts chapter 13. I want to look at verse number 36. In Acts 13, Paul is preaching, and in the midst of his preaching, he says in verse number 36, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." In the context there, Paul is contrasting David to Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead and did not see corruption. But in the process of doing that, he says some pretty interesting things. "For David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep." In other words, he passed away. He died. David, being in the will of God, served his own generation. Do you see that? Now, Christian, I want us to understand this morning. Whether you're a mother, whether you're a mother-to-be, or whether you're a man, I want us to understand this morning, we all get one generation to impact. We serve one generation. Maybe that's the better way to put it. We serve one generation, and that's the generation we're in right now. But in the process of serving our generation, and that's all God gives us, we need to use that time to train the next. And that's how God's word carries on. And so, ladies, as you have the impact upon the next generation that you have a tremendous ability to influence their generation. And as you do that, then those children that you rear have that illustration or that example in their own lives where that they can impact their generation. And I want to tell you this morning, as I look across this room, I see young adults who are rearing children in their own home who did not have this example in their home. And they now, as parents, are trying to figure this out and are searching God's word and are trying to do everything they can to rear their children right for the Lord. How much better it would have been if they would have had the example that God wanted them to have. We have one generation, and we can be selfish and serve our own interests, or we can be eternal and fear God and serve His interests. I know which one I want. These midwives, these women, were able to look past the temporal and to see into eternity, and God used them so that we would have one of the greatest prophets that ever walked upon this earth. May God give us women who will fear Him and do likewise.